This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of September of the year 2005. And it's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 4. Verse number 19. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Subject. The title for this subject is The Making of a Preacher. This month's subject reveals some of the main prerequisites that go into the making of a preacher. There are many things that people go through to become preachers, but without these main items, these preachers are putting themselves in the positions that are not only dangerous to them, but to anyone that listens to them. In this simple little passage of scripture, we find the very basic prerequisite for becoming a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After all, it is the hook, if you will reel in those that are lost and estranged from God. Jesus said, follow me. So the first thing that is necessary is that the person be a follower of Christ. This stands to reason because if you are going to preach his message to the world, then you must of necessity be a follower of his. Jesus, when he started his ministry, went about choosing his disciples by essentially asking them to follow him. This was done to show us that there has to be a call from him on the lives of those that stand up to proclaim his gospel. Then it is up to them to answer the call. There is in many circles of our society a belief that the way to become a preacher is to go to school and learn about ministry, then get a degree and you are all set. However, if you will notice, Jesus didn't go to the religious leaders and call them to follow him. He didn't go to the students and ask them. He, for all intents and purposes, went to those that were just your average run-of-the-mill everyday folk. Those that probably didn't even give a second thought about being preachers. When I see and hear certain church denominations and their schools going out trying to recruit people to become preachers, I wonder just what it is that they are asking or telling them about the ministry. One of the first things, or rather the first thing, as I mentioned earlier, is that they have to be followers of Christ. Or to put it more plainly, they must be saved, or in another term, born again. A lot of churches and denominations in recruiting people for ministry tend not to put the requirement forward that the person needs to be born again or saved as the primary requirement for ministry. This means that candidates for the school, if that is what the ministry has, or the degrees from some of courses in theological seminary or college, though good, is not, and I repeat, not a criteria for one's qualifications to be a preacher. If you will consider the fact that anyone, including an atheist, can go to college, take a course in theology, pass and get a degree, and still be an atheist but be qualified to be a preacher, then you can see what the problem is. There are many preachers in the world today that are destroying themselves, the lives of those that listen to them, and the image of the church and Christ, because they, for the most part, are not called by Christ to preach his gospel. A great many of them are not even followers of Christ. So you might ask, what is a follower? Jesus said this about what his followers should be. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 38, he says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Then in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And then we go to Luke chapter 6, verse number 46. And Jesus is saying, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" These three scriptures are essentially putting forth the message that the followers of Christ must be of the mindset that they want and desire. What they want and desire is no longer the priority in their lives, but Christ's directions are. This is the same thing as He being Lord in your life. He is, for all intents and purposes, your master, and you are His slave or servant. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." This means that Paul considered himself a total servant. Whatever Jesus told him to do, he did, irrespective of what he felt or what friends and families thought. He even did it when the law forbade him from doing it. This is one of the most significant qualifications of a preacher. Nothing, and I mean nothing, should deter a preacher from preaching what Christ says to preach and doing what He says to do. Now, to give you a brief history of Paul, he was, as he himself described, one of those religious leaders that at first set about to destroy what he felt was a cult that had sprung up, challenging his beliefs about God according to the writings of the scriptures of the Old Testament. He held a position, if you will, that was higher than what the Pope has today, if you will allow me to make that comparison. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Paul had all of the qualifications to be a preacher, and he was. But not being a follower of Christ, he was actually out to destroy the church. That is, until he ran into Christ on the road to Damascus and had his life and his perspective on things changed. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." All of his education, his outlook on things, were nothing to him now. Christ and His direction was all that mattered to him. if you will notice about the other apostles, when Jesus called them, they stopped what they were doing, left their jobs and families, and followed him immediately. Couple that with what most preachers feel today, or what most preachers feel today, if they see something in the scriptures that tells them to do something or not to do something, they would have to think about it first. They would draw a consensus, ask friends and families what they thought, and then, if they felt comfortable with it, then they would abide by it. This is poison to everyone, because it says that what God says is objective, meaning depending on the opinions of others, you will do what Christ says. Remember what Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say?" Now, this is another point of importance, and that is the believer must know that Jesus' word or direction comes from the Bible. The Bible is, to the believer, God's written word, and are thus Jesus' words. So, to make it simple, the Bible is Jesus' instructions to his followers, and they are instructions that are non-negotiable. There is no compromise. Tell that to most preachers today, and they will say you must be a part of the religious rite. These preachers are all too willing to compromise on anything. Not a good sign for a preacher. Not only must a preacher be saved, not only must he be called, but the next step is he must be anointed. To make it more plain, the preacher must be chosen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen or anointed." Now, what is it about the anointing? Once again, you have gone the path of the first two steps. Then you are in the position of being chosen by Christ to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given all of us, and that is to go. That is to, as quoted Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 18, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is what is known as the Great Commission. This is what preachers are called or anointed to do. And this is what separates the real preachers from the wannabes. You see, without the anointing, there is no way anyone can totally fulfill what Jesus wants us to do. No way. Why? Because without Jesus' supernatural power backing them, there is no power to supernaturally accomplish anything that would draw men to Christ, especially in the acts of healing and deliverance. As the Bible says, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sin, and that is what sets the captives free. This is what he told the apostles before he ascended back to the Father. He said, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That's Luke chapter 24, verse number 49. What will win men and women to Christ is not the words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. We find these words recorded by the Apostle Paul. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This is what separates the men, if you will, from the boys. Without the anointing, the preacher is nothing more than any other man or woman with a degree in religion or theology. He is simply being loud and saying nothing. Today, just like back then, there are preachers that have the anointing of God on their lives and in their ministries, but there are also multitudes that don't have any such anointing on their lives. And because of this, and this alone, they can be, and usually are, very dangerous. Not always, because they have devious motives, but because without the anointing, they are easily misled in that they believe in what they believe the Bible says. You see, in order to fully understand what the Bible says, you need to ask the one that wrote it. And that stands to reason, because if you wrote a letter to me and I didn't understand what you meant about something, who do you think I should ask to get a clear understanding or clear meaning? Someone else or you? Well then, who do you think is the best one to explain God's word to you? God or some school teacher that is only doing it for the money? Well, God, operating through men that he has anointed, are the same thing as him teaching you. But of course, God is the ultimate source of your education. However, the anointed preacher is a helper for you to consult when you have a problem understanding the scripture. But think about this. The apostles were called by him, and they were with him during all of his ministry except for Judas. They watched all that he did. Then he anointed them to go out and do a few things. But before he left them, he told them not to do anything until they were given the power from on high. They walked with him, but they still had to wait for the power or the anointing. Yet we have preachers today who only have a degree in theology with no anointing whatsoever. And who taught them? Some other man with no anointing that was probably taught by someone else with no anointing. Do you see the picture here? This thing spreads like cancer. And it is because of them that this nation and the church is in the mess it is in today. People running around listening to and believing preachers that don't know beans about what they're talking about because they are just as blind as those that they are preaching to. One other thing, the anointing does not stay with any person automatically. It only stays as long as God is pleased with the preacher. If he falls into sin, the anointing is removed. If a man's ways please the Lord, then and only then will God anoint him to preach. Well, that's the end of our message for this session. And I hope you have gotten some idea about what it takes to be a preacher. It takes more than some piece of paper saying that you completed so many hours of study at such and such a university, and you got a grade point average or something along that line. It is nothing. It means nothing. And the only thing it's going to do is put you in a position to be a danger to yourself and to anyone else that comes to listen to you. So, you know, pieces of paper just don't do you any good. You got to have the anointing from God to be a true preacher. You can be a false preacher. I mean, that's all that you basically would be, because you don't have any, you don't have any power to back up or demonstrate the gospel. See, it's all in the demonstration. Because that part where the Apostle Paul says, he mentions the fact that his preaching was not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. power, that people's faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the difference. Show them something, because you know anybody can talk a good game. I mentioned the fact that put me up beside some preachers and things, and I'll sound like a dunce, like a moron, don't know what I'm talking about. But if I start demonstrating God's power, that's what's going to start winning people to my side of the aisle, you know, to God, because of the demonstration, the supernatural demonstration of God's power. But of course, I have to be anointed to be in that position for Him to do that in my life, so that I can be a witness for Him. As much as He wants people saved, He's not going to break His standards for who it is He endows with the power to demonstrate, you know, the gospel. Don't take degrees. Don't take grade point averages or anything else like that. It takes the anointing from God for you to be a preacher. Well, that's the end of our message for this session. And as usual, in Evangelist George McTyre saying to you and yours, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.